About the halachos of the same Talmud, the Levrocha, the same Brocha, and had an interesting new shayla, which we'll come to over the end of the shir. And it's funny, a chaver of mine called me Thursday night with a shayla, and I told him what I thought, but I never really discussed it with anyone. And then Sunday afternoon, I was by Rav Azriel Orbach, Shlita, and I had the same shayla that was relevant to myself, because I had yahrzeit. Yesterday was Monday, right? I had yahrzeit on Monday, and I was trying to figure out how exactly to be Shliach Tzibur in Eretz Yisrael, but we'll come to that. But the first thing I want to clarify, because this is a root of many mistakes, and it's a halacha which is not well known. I was in a place, a very yeshivish place. I mean, the people davening there, about 99.99% of major Talmidei Chachamim, have spent years of their life learning and continue to do so. And what happened, and it's relevant to Hussein Tal as well, that Chazan said, in the middle of nowhere, he said, Mashu Baruchim Erev Geshem. And why exactly this came about, I'm not exactly sure. It wasn't a time of the year for Mashu Baruch. It wasn't a switch time, but I'll call upon him. He said, Mashu Baruch Amar Degeshem. So he went a few sentences on and he realized. So he went back and he did that Eretz Yisrael. He did Merida Tal and he kept going. And I stopped him. No one stopped him. I stopped him. No, it was in the middle of the bracha. I stopped him. He was going down the bracha. He said, Mashu Baruch. He went b'chal k'chaim b'chesed, and I stopped him. Somebody stopped him, and he went back, and he did Merida Tal, and he went forward. So I stopped him. So then they chapped, and they made him go back to the beginning of the bracha. There's two separate types of mistakes, and they have to be corrected differently. And if not, you're not even b'yotze b'di'evet. There are mistakes of omission and mistakes of commission. Mistakes of omission, you can correct even without going back. You put it in, listen, everything has a particular place, but if you didn't go back, I said B'Sein Brocha, and I was supposed to say in the middle of the winter, B'Sein Talamot L'Brocha, and I went on the Brocha, I don't really have to go back. Okay, if I go back and put it in the right place, but I don't have to. If I said B'Sein Talamot anywhere in the Brocha, I'm Yaitzi. It's a mistake, because my problem is I left something out. So if I left out Mashu Baruch, and I said Mashu Baruch anywhere in the Brocha, I'd also be fine. At the end of the day, the Brocha ended. It's one of the many phrases of that Brocha. It does not dafke have to be in sequence even. I said Mashu Baruch, I'm Yaitzeh. Shmach Leinu? Where?
You go back and say Mashu Baruch where?
No, I'm still in the Brocha. I didn't finish the Brocha yet. There's no going back. Mashu Baruch is a deadly mistake, because it's in the first three Brochas. If you finish the Brocha already, then you go back to the beginning. But then there are mistakes of commission. And that is when they go to the summer month of the year, and I'm supposed to leave out Mashu Baruch, and I said Mashu Baruch. I'm supposed to leave out B'Sein Tal, and I said B'Sein Tal. So now what I have to do is not add something that I didn't do, but I have to erase something that I did do. So how do you erase it? So it's very interesting. So here is a machlokes. By Baruch Aleinu, everyone agrees. If I went back to the beginning of the Brocha, or even if I went back to the phrase before, right before B'Sein Tal, and I started from the phrase earlier, and certainly if I started from the beginning of the Brocha, I would be Yaitzi. That's considered expunging it. In other words, listen, the Brocha that I tried to do, I messed up, so I started again, and I made a Brocha without it. Now, by Atigib, by Mashu Baruch, there's a machlokes to grow on the other Achrayim. The Gro says that this Brocha you messed up. When you put in and make an error of commission, the Brocha, you killed the Brocha. So normally you have to start again. So that's fine. But by Ata Gibor, since it's in the first three, you can't start again. Because if you messed up any of the first three Brochas, you have to go back to the goat. So the Goyin says that if I said Masha V'Ruach Merdeh Geshem after Pesach, that I have to go back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. You can't fix it. You can't go back to Atah Gibor. Chofetz Chaim is not Machriya like that. He's Machriya like the other Achrayinim, that it's enough to go back to Atah Gibor. In other words, since I'm still in the midst of that bracha, I didn't go to another bracha, it doesn't disrupt my ability to fix that, you know, to make a new Atah Gibor in that place. But that's an error of commission. So this is a very, very important point, and I said it's a point that's not well known even by Lomdom. That if you just go back, I said the same Tao, okay, and I don't know, oops, mistake. Now, the same bracha, you're not yet even by the average monastery. You can't expunge in that fashion. You have to basically start the bracha again.
Kriya Satara, it's the same thing?
No, Kriya Satara is different. Kriya Satara is not...
A person added a wrong word, you could just... I don't know what they do. They don't go back to the beginning.
I don't know. I don't know if you have to go back even. I'm not even sure that you have to go back. It just doesn't belong there. I don't know that you have. I'm not sure that you have to go back even. It's an interesting shayla. As long as he said all the right words, l'chara yayitzi. So this is an important point, just as hakdama to today's shir. Now, the particular issue which is most vexing at this time of the year is the difference in Minhagim between Eretz Yisrael and here. That's the Shiloh. In Eretz Yisrael, they start... They start the bakasha from Zayin Cheshbon. Now they have a Cheshbon that really they probably would have started immediately after Sukkot too. Except, what's the worst possibility in Tevila? You might say not having Kavona is the worst possibility in Tevila, but there's something worse than that. That's being insincere. A person that was sincere, but he spaced out, okay, but he meant what he said. A person that dafka doesn't mean what he says, insincerity in tefillah is the worst of all possibilities. Yeah. A person came to Yerushalayim for sukkahs. So Shmini Atzeres ended, Simchas Torah, whatever, it's one day in Eretz Yisrael. So on Chav Gimel Tishrei has to start going home. So you got to tell him, get up and be Mispalo for Geshem. He's, in his heart of hearts, he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, I did the mitzvah. It wasn't easy to come. Just let me get home, you know. After that, let the deluge come. But please, not while I'm going, you know. The whole Chedrochem, as we know, that the Kohen Gadol had to have a special tefillah to count on Yom Kippur, to countermand the tefillahs of the Ivrei Drochem. Because the Ivrei Drochem had a very sincere tefillah that they didn't want it to rain when they're traveling. So the Kohen Gadol had to offer a special tefillah to overcome that tefillah, that when it's appropriate to rain, despite the Ivrei Drochem, it should rain. So insincerity in tefillah is intolerable. So they delayed it for 2 weeks after Sukkot. So Tosfos, in fact, has a cheshbon. And I don't understand the Tosfos exactly. Tosfos has a kasha that it should have taken them 440 days to get home. Because the Gemara says in Megillah, that in this Daza Eretz Yisrael, 400 parsois by 400 parsois. But Pashtis Ardwaram is the Gemara is a guzma. Because if you took 400 parsois, you would be all the way down to the Persian Gulf in Iraq from Eretz Yisrael. So Pashtus, it doesn't mean that. It means Abarakoponim Tosfos says that what it could have been, even without that, that there were places that were far enough away that they didn't get home in 2 weeks necessarily. So Tosfos says that despite the fact that the Gemara says in Pesachim that a person traveled 10 parsos in a day, that's when he traveled by foot. But if he traveled by wagon or horseback, then he traveled a lot faster than that. He would get home faster than that. Al-Kloponim, so they delayed. So really this month for rain in Eretz Yisrael is right after Sukkos. They delayed it, so people shouldn't be able to get home from the Sholosh Regolim. When they would start to be mispalo, they would be mispalo sincerely. Then listen, I'm a farmer, and I want a terrain. I need rain now. So they start Zayin Cheshvan, and we start 60 days after the equinox. Now, if you make a Cheshvan 60 days after the equinox, so that should have come out on November 23rd, right? The equinox being on September 23rd. But what happened is that when the world changed between the Gregorian and the Julian calendars, they lopped off 11 days, so we did not change with them. So actually we were up to December 4th already. And their calendar was 60 days because the Tekufa was also 11 days later. Tekufa was on October 4th. So when they knocked off the 11 days and they pushed back the equinox to September 23rd, we did not change our calendar with that. So we're really, in terms of the St. Talamot of Lebrocha, we're on the earlier calendar. That's why we are 11 days later than the 60 days after the equinox. But so, these are not scientific statements. The halacha is that this is a time that it's worthy to be mispalo. So we have an approximation. Approximation suffices for our purposes. We're not trying to shoot a rocket to the moon. That we have to be exactly hit the bullseye. If this is approximately the time and it makes sense to daven, then we can make that this month for Tila, which is true in many things. There are many, many halachas which are based upon that fact.
It's still ma'akev.
Yeah, because that's the takana Chazal made. That's why it's ma'akev. Right, if you change Matbeir Shatol, right, Shatobu Chachamim, right, so you're not Yitzchak. So they made, listen, you have to have a system, so you made a system, but the system does not have to be, from the scientific standpoint, exactly perfect. If it's approximately perfect, that's also fine. Kitzah Hadvarim, so one of the things we've tried to figure out, and really unsuccessfully, and is, what do we do with people that are out of place? An Eretz Yisrael, a person that's in Chutz La'aretz, and a Chutz La'aretz person that's in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason we haven't figured it out is we lack Mesiris. In other words, if this Shiloh would have come up in 1800, there would be so many people traveling, so we would have settled the problem already. You know, having gone through all the Gedolim of the 19th century, Rabbi Kiveiga would have chimed in, and the Chassam Sofer would have chimed in, and the Shoyle Meshev, and Rabbi Tzvi Chochanan. By now, we would have a consensus. But we haven't had that. This is a Shaila which has really become a very serious Shaila, probably since the Six-Day War. Before the Six-Day War, even, there weren't so many people that went there. It's Israel from America, and Israelis coming to America were also less. I remember circa 1970, like seeing the first Israeli guy in our part of town in Forest Hills. You know, a real Israeli that wound up, you know, living here. So, yeah, there were guys that I knew, but it became, after the 70s, it became a phenomenon. So, you know, we don't settle things so quickly. You know, and so the problem, as I mentioned once, I spoke about it Friday night, what's the problem? The problem is that we don't really understand the halacha in the first place. That's part of the problem. That lends the three quarters of the problem. You know, the genius of Rav Moshe Zatzal was that Rav Moshe was able to get through all the haze and all the fog and get to define, according to the Rishonim, the core of the halacha. And if, once you understand the core of the halacha, then what follows from that, it's you can come to. But here, we don't understand the core of the halacha. Because we have all types of practices which we really have no means of explaining why we're doing what we're doing. The Gemara tells us that there was a difference in Bovel. They started 60 days after the equinox, and Eretz Yisrael, it's not on Zayin Cheshvan. So, in general, when we have many machlokas between Chachmei Eretz Yisrael and Chachmei Bovel. And usually what happens is that Eretz Yisrael, they follow Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, and the people of Chutz La'aretz follow Chachmei Bovel. So that's the accepted practice. So that's fine if we're arguing if this animal's kosher or it's treif. So every machlokas and halacha and Eretz Yisrael held its treif and we hold its kosher. So we follow Chachmei Bovel. That Chachmei Bovel held its kosher. We follow Chachmei Bovel. We live in Chutz La'aretz. That's when there's a halachic dispute. But here, there's not a question of halachic dispute. There is no halachic dispute. It's varying circumstances produce different dinim. And everyone agreed what the yardstick was. The yardstick is, when was rain necessary in this particular part of the world? That's the yardstick. And that's a common yardstick which united Chachmei Bovel and Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. There was no machlekes about that. What differed was the agricultural circumstances. In Eretz Yisrael, they needed rain from Zayin Cheshvan. And in Bovel, they didn't. Probably they didn't need it in Bovel, because Bovel had abundant water resources. I mean, yeah, the Tigris and the Euphrates River, two of the greatest rivers in the world, right? The earliest civilizations are in Mesopotamia for that reason. Very growing was a very stable existence. When all the rain that basically fell any place in the Middle East eventually wound up in your backyard and you could irrigate with it, so you were in business. You weren't dependent upon if it's going to rain, if it's not going to rain, of getting water resources. The water resources were in abundance. So they, for that reason, I imagine, they didn't need it so quickly, because they had an abundance of rainwater. So what is this? So why, in fact, do we have this divide between everybody in Chutz La'aretz and everybody in Eretz Yisrael? When we examine Chutz La'aretz, we should use the yardstick that they use. When is rain necessary? We should judge that on an area by area basis of the world. We'll say, okay, on the European landmass, when did I need rain? On the North American landmass, when do you need rain? And the South American landmass, when do you need rain? But instead, what do we have? We have the whole Chutz La'aretz begins 60 days after the equinox. So why are we doing that in the Southern Hemisphere? Why are we doing that in the southern hemisphere? Right, I was in South Africa once in July and August. So you know what season it is in July and August? Winter time. It's a mild winter. It's like Eretz Yisrael. It's mild. But it's winter time. Summer is in January. It's summertime. So why are we starting with St. Talamot Levroch at that time of the year? What's the pshat? And in this United States, for example, so we can use rain throughout the year. We have summer crops, we have winter crops. We're a very blessed country, an unbelievably blessed country. So why are we starting in December? It would make sense to start in October. And maybe it doesn't even make sense to end at Pesach either. We need rain in the spring too. So this is not our kasha. We didn't dream up this kasha in the 20th century. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch rests upon three major poskim at the backbone of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? There's the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh. The Rosh is the one. He looked at the world and he said, what's the pshat here? The Rosh held that just judge it according to each landmass in the world when it needs rain, and that's when you should be mispala for rain. Beginning and end of discussion. The most cogent position on this shaila that's ever been presented. Except there's only one little problem. Klal Yisrael wasn't doing it like this. Not Dominic. Why? We don't know why. We don't have any good reason. Nobody has a good reason why. What's the pshat? But as the Chazon Ish writes often, the primary facet in determining halacha, the greatest facet is Masir. If we have a Masir that this is the halacha Mekubelis and Klal Yisrael, without any doubt, there's nothing to talk about. You can't change it. You can come with all the kashas and tainas that you want. It's fixed set in stone. But here, so the Rosh is Din, Klal Yisrael did not follow the Rosh. So this is what the minhag of Klal Yisrael is. So Rav Moshe Zatzal argued from that standpoint. He said, in all the shittas in the sugya, the one that's most appealing is the Rosh Hashita. The logic is impeccable. The only problem is that the minhag is missing. So what do we do about this? So we tried all types of, you know, the first approach is based on a Gemara and Psach. But the question is if the shoe fits. From the Gemara and Psach, we derive the following. That what happens if a person, let's change the Shaila from the Saint Talamot to the Brocha, to keeping one day or 2 days Yontif. Right? So the Midag and Chutz Loretz, our practice is we keep 2 days. And it's all to keep one day. So how does a person affected by this when he goes from place to place? Now this again, well, we'll talk about what we actually do, but not everyone agreed. The Chacham Tzvi said, what's the Shaila? Wherever you are, that's what you do. He says, a very, very simple Shaila, the Chacham Tzvi says. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if a guy lived in a place where they kept 2 days Yontif, because he was that far away in Mikdash Sheni, that the Shluchim didn't reach him. Now this guy decided this year he's going to Yerushalayim and he's going to spend Yontif in Yerushalayim. How many days Yontif did he keep? Why in the world should he keep two? He's in the place where the Beis Din is. He comes to Yerushalayim. They know it's Pesach. They know exactly when the Beis Din HaGadol and the Sanhedrin declared Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what in the world would this guy ever keep 2 days Yontif for? What sense would it make? Well, but you think that they're bringing a Korban Pesach for him on the second day of Yontif? Right, Chulun Bazar. You know what, Korban Pesach, please. So it's Suk Techacham Tzvi says, I don't get the whole story. A guy that went from Eretz Yisrael, and now he's Farouk, he's on the other end of the world. He went there and he doesn't know when Rosh Chodesh is. So what do you think he should do? Of course he should keep 2 days. And a guy from Australia that went to Eretz Yisrael, he's sitting there in the next day in the Beis Din HaGadol. And the Beis Din HaGadol gets up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan and says, today's Makudish to Chodesh, so that's it. So what's he have to keep 2 days yonder for? This is the Chacham Tzvi's argument. And the truth is, in my sefer, I wrote a shtickel teretz, why it's not a, you know, it's conceivable not to follow this. But Rav Moshe said, Rav Shmuel Shulman, Shlita Tom, Rav Moshe told him, I think he also held like this, so he told him this, and the Chacham Tzvi, Rav Moshe said, is the most logical position, and that's sugya too. Except, you know, that's not what's makubal in the Achreinim. But now it's interesting that in Eretz Yisrael, and earlier, and it's starting to make a little bit of a comeback now, and the first half of the 20th century, that they kept in Lashon Chevron Yeshiva, not, you know, not anyone, Yeshiva steeped in the Messiah. They kept one day Yontif. He came from Chutz Lorch, he went to Eretz Yisrael, he kept one day Yontif, Gomarno. I knew this, I was Rav Sarna's guest. It was at Tzal, the Chevron of Rosh Shiva, the last year of his life. So I knew beforehand, I was warned that, you know, he holds from keeping one day Yontif. So I still remember, I will never forget, it was the last night of Yontif. For us, the eighth night, and for him, it was Motzei Yontif. So I'm sitting back on the other side, that's just one of those tables over there, where that Elliot Hecht sits there. And he was sitting somewhere over here, for Erech. And he was facing us, and behind him was the radio. Motzei Yontif was listening to Chadera Chadashot and Kol Yisrael. And I'm in the next room with a little table, and the Rebbetzin Allah Shalom was nice to us, that even though it was Motzei Yontif, but she's still at the house, still had Pesach food. So she, you know, she gave us to eat that night. The next day we ate some results. We didn't, you know. So here he is. He's listening to the Chadashot, and I'm making Kiddush in the next room. And I look at him, and he's just looking at us with a twinkle in his eye. He said nothing, and he said everything, you know. So that was what was makubal in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. In the latter part of the 20th century, they started to get machmer on this subject in Eretz Yisrael, and to keep 2 days after the Six-Day War. And now it's sort of pushing back a little bit, to some extent.
Did you just visit for Yeah,
it's a just visit. Yeah, if they held, they held. It doesn't. You're there. You're in your Eretz Yisrael. Let the chacham see. Keep one day. That's what you suffer. There's nothing to be mesupik about. There's no sveikus. The whole reason you're keeping is you don't know when Rosh Chodesh is. You know when Rosh Chodesh is. So what are you keeping 2 days for? It doesn't have to do with a minug. The logic is the same logic as the Rosh really asks it. You're not. It's not a minig that an Eretz you keep 2 days. We keep one day. You know, you eat chayin. You don't eat chayin. You came to our community. What are you going to do? There's nothing to do with that. That's a very simple thing. They kept 2 days because they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was, and Eretz Yisrael, you kept one day because you knew when Rosh Chodesh was. So who cares in the world where you came from? You came from the moon. But now you're in Eretz Yisrael, and you know what day is Rosh Chodesh. So what do you want? What's your problem? The guy that's in Chutzlar is not keeping 2 days because it's a minute Chutzlar to keep it. He's keeping 2 days because he doesn't know when it is. So in the time of the Gemara, that's what they would have done. So why should it change?
Nowadays,
so they said, "Minigav asayim b'day." Go on doing what you did until now, right? So zok techacham tzvi. Yeah, so good. Do or go on doing what you do. What did you do until now? The guy from Eretz Yisrael that came to you kept 2 days, and the guy from Chutz Loris that went there so kept 1 day. So keep on doing it.
That's because my status, my knowledge status changed from Chutz Loris to Eretz Yisrael in those days. Nowadays, there's no knowledge issue anymore.
But when you, forgetting the knowledge issue, when you came to Eretz Yisrael, how many days did they tell you to keep? One. So why are you changing it now?
It's because they knew what day it was.
Good, so I still know. Good, so the minute, it's not minig of a seyim b'yadayim. What was the minig? Then, when a guy came from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Loritz, what did he keep? 1 day. So what's the minig? The minig was, if you went to Eretz Yisrael, he kept 1 day. So what should I have to say? Minig of a seyim b'yadayim, that I have to keep 2 days. That's the Chacham Tzvi's kasha.
You think that's a minig Chabad, even today, Chabad holds that wherever you are, whether that's what you keep.
Yeah.
So if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you keep 1 day no matter where you're coming from. And if someone from Eretz Yisrael comes to America, you only keeps 2 days.
Well, could be. I was not Ma'ayan and the Shitas of the Valatanya in this.
That's what they do today.
Okay, listen, that's a logical position. It's well rooted. So I have a shtickl yishuv today, Chacham Tzvi's Kasha, my safe or whatever, but that's not for now. But the Kasha is, the Chacham Tzvi's Kasha, the 2 days under, is the same Kasha really the Rosh is asking here. Nothing to do with different Shitas, but with Matthias. So we don't know the answer to this question. So some wanted to use the same that, you know, the halacha is that if you did, let's say two communities of machuluk, right, in a halacha, right, in this community they decided, we'll talk about the Shabbos, this bird has a Messiah and you eat it, and we all this bird doesn't have a Messiah, we don't eat it. So now I go from one place to the next. So good. So what's the halacha? When there's a chiluk and din between two different places, so then the halacha is that if you're daito lachsar, if you're intended to go back to where you came from, so you have to keep the chumras that you kept where you come from, and you're not allowed to, if you want more meikul, you're not allowed to be meikul in their community. So basically you have to keep the chumras of both. If you come there and are not planning to go back, you know, I lived in Vilna, and I went from Vilna to Eretz Yisrael, and that's it, I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I'm not going back to Vilna, so long. So then you become a member of the community of Eretz Yisrael, and you get that dinner. Whatever they do, you do. So this is the model that some wanted to use, well, it depends, is it daito lachsa or not daito lachsa. So that should be the yardstick. So it's daito lachsa, you should do like your home country. That's what some wanted to taina. Some wanted to taina that's not a good comparison altogether. Why? Because there's another factor here. And that factor is, let's say you went there to Yisrael, and you're planning to be there for half a year, a year start. Then you're going to go back to America. So you tell me, listen, so since I'm planning to live permanently in America, so I have to keep all the minhagim of America, whatever they may be. They hold this bird is treif, I'm not allowed to eat it. And they're told to hold it's kosher, I can't eat it, fine. But now I have a different problem. Forget minhag. Right now I'm living in Eretz Yisrael. So the shaila is the following. What am I going to drink and what am I going to eat for the next year, or the next half a year? The water that falls in the Kinneret, that's what I'm going to drink. The tomatoes that grow in Eretz Yisrael, that's what I'm going to eat. So if there's going to be a drought, I'm going to be in trouble. It's health garnished. I have an American passport, you know. It's with my sachal, but it's going to help me a lot, you know. If there's nothing to drink, nothing to eat, what's it going to help you? So Mameilas, as some said, it shouldn't be totally in that. It should be totally if you're going to stay in Eretz Yisrael for a while. So maybe that's what it should be totally in. So what is it dependent on the gospel? Now, even if we took the first view, sort of we could take the first view and say, well, then maybe this halacha of where you're planning to be and not planning to be, you ought to be calibrated, you know, according. If you're going to be here through the season, then maybe that's enough. And then you consider the Gabi, this din, you consider the Ben Eretz Yisrael, because you have one faith together with them. They're on the same boat that they're in. If the boat goes down, you go down. So we don't have, as I said, a clear-cut askom on this. So Ramosha Kedarko Bakaydish, and was plumbed the depths of the halacha. You know, he did not try to necessarily, in an area where there wasn't a clear-cut Messiah, he did not try necessarily to accommodate all the deists that existed. He entered the fray, and he said what he held was right. It's very interesting. It just came up again now. You know, Rabbi Yosha was a tzal, his perspective on Rabbi Moshe. He looked at him differently than everyone else in the world. Rabbi Moshe was the godel. And Ad Kedei Kach, a very, very shver shail of Eishes Ish. It's not the time and place to go into. It's a case which took place long, many, 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 maybe 50 years ago or so. And the Beis Din Haifa didn't want to touch it. And they sent it to the Beis Din HaGadol, and they, Beis Din HaGadol, asked Rav Moshe's Chavos Das. And Rav Moshe wrote them a lengthy tshuva, only part of which has been published, part of which has not been published ever. And Rav Moshe wrote Lehetera. So the Beis Din Haifa said, Vaita, doesn't want to paskin. Doesn't want to, maybe they were afraid politically to take the achrayas. They said the Beis Din HaGadol should paskin. So Rabbi Yoshev, I saw it where the signature, he signed the psak. And he does not, there's no commentary in anything in the tick in the entire file. He has no comments whatsoever on Rabbi Yoshev's psak. Pshat is, he did not, it wasn't important to him. If the Godla, this lady, she was a very, very sure shayla, was a young woman, and according to the circumstances, if not for Rabbi Yoshev's head, she would have been an aguna her whole life. And Rabbi Yoshev let loose Kedarkai, and he found a heter for her. So he said, Rabbi Yoshev had no comments. He said it was like Rabbi Chaim Brisk, the Torah of Yitzchak HaKonah, Rabbi Chaim Oizer. He said, just send me back to Psak. I don't need to know any of your reasons. I can fight with you about all the reasons you're going to give. But your God Lador, your Psak is undoubtedly correct. And Mameilas, Menish Vichtig, it's not important to me what the reasons are for the Psak. He says, Rabbi Yosha, a very chomer de kashayel of Eishes Ish. Yes, Rabbi Yosha. Rabbi Yosha was signed. Why? Because Rabbi Yosha gave a psak, it's mutter. That was enough. That's all. There's nothing more to talk about. So he told me once, he says, Rabbi Yosha was not a meikel. He says, in Hilchos Shabbos, it was a geferlich machmer. He says, it's chumras and chumras and chumras in Hilchos Shabbos. A tremendous machmer. He says, but Rabbi Yosha had the koyach to be machriya. To enter the fray of the Achroinim, and he was strong enough that he could bring his rayas and be machriya lahalocha. So Rav Moshe did the same thing over here. Rav Moshe came and said he took one klal of the halocha, and that gave him free room to maneuver, and then he went to town. So the halocha states that an amilsa de lo shchiach is not shayach aminik. An unusual circumstance, there's no din minik. He says, there's no question, and that's clear from the fact that you see the poskim were all over the map on this shayla. There's no minute in Klal Yisrael what to do for a person that went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Loretz or Chutz Loretz. It didn't happen all that much that they established a minute for it. know, this one did this, that one did that, but there were a fixed minhag in Klal Yisrael. It didn't happen often enough for it to be a minhag. And the halacha is on a milsa de lo shchiach, in an unusual case, there's no din minhag. So Rav Moshe says that's why. Listen, in all the doiris, there was no minhag established. So he says the whole reason that we don't follow the Rosh is for what reason? Is because the minhag is not like that. But for our case of travelers, there's no minhag. It's supposed in all the doiris and milsa de lo shchiach, they never established a minhag. So if that's the case, he says, then it should be ukmei adino. So Mameila, the Ben Eretz Yisrael that comes to America, when should we actually start? So Chazal Kmokoveya, the possibilities are either Zion Cheshvan or 60 days after the equinox. So we need rain now in America, he said. So the Rosh is right. We should actually start on Zion Cheshvan like Eretz Yisrael. Why we don't? Akasha Famaisa, why we don't? But this guy who's not subject to the minhag, because there is no minhag for him, so he, the Maisa, should start from Zion Cheshvan. Now I think it follows the other way around too. I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but my cheshbon, the guy that goes to Eretz Yisrael, it's the same thing. He's in a place where they need rain. And right, there is no minhag for him because it's a milsa de lo shchiach. So mustavra he should start on Zion cheshbon. That's what I thought according to Rav Moshe. Now what they do when Eretz Yisrael became a kubbal, I heard it years back, almost 50 years ago, as a psak of the stipler. And that's what's become pretty widely mekubal in Eretz Yisrael, with different nuances. Exactly when you're leaving, and one yeshiva I was in there had a sign on the wall that if you're leaving before December 4th, so this is what you should do, implying that if you stayed longer than December 4th, they were comfortable doing, you know, following the stamminig of Eretz Yisrael. What became mekubal was a psak of the stipler, is very widely used, that it finessed the issue. Which is that in Baruch Aleinu they say B'sein Brocha, a Chutz La'aretz person. And in Shomei HaTfilah they say B'sein Talamot Levrocha with a Chap, Livnei Eretz Yisrael. So the whole Shaila is who's the Ben Eretz Yisrael for this? The guy that comes temporarily, the guy that's going to be here for a season, that guy's going to be here forever. Whatever definition you want to give. So it's Nichlal in that. So there's no problem. You can be Mispalo for whatever you want in Shmak Aleinu. So the Maisar, that's what's pretty wide the Mekubal. I was discussing Sunday afternoon, I was in the house where Rabbi Zil Orbach Shlita, and we discussed it, and he also said this is what he holds to do, this Satzal. So what's the complication? Thursday night, last Thursday night, a chaver of mine calls me at your site Friday. He's a Ben Eretz Yisrael, he lives in Eretz Yisrael, but he comes here frequently. He's going to be here, so he. How should he daven? Marv is not a problem. But what should he do with Chazoros HaShatz on Friday? Now, I had the same problem. What am I going to do Monday? I told you before I went. What am I going to do? That's all nice in my private Shmon Esrei. I could make such kunsen, but you can't get up B'tzibur and do that. If they say the same Talamot, I also have to say the same Talam. What? So, Rav Israel. So he says, no, listen, what are you going to do? You have to say the same Tal. You can't do different than the minhag Eretz Yisrael. So I said, that's not my shaila. That I understand too. My shaila is, maybe it's better I shouldn't daven on the yahrzeit for that reason. So he told me, no, that you shouldn't do. You should daven. So what should you do? So you should do, in the silent Shmon Esrei, you'll do the same brocha and the same talamot of the brocha of the Eretz Yisrael. In the out loud Shmon Esrei, you'll do the same brocha. So I presume the cheshbon is, and I would do the same talament. I meant the same tal, yeah, in the out loud in the Chazaras Hashatz. So I said because it means sofkosof because it's Hamun Deis here. So under the circumstances, I should be samech on the Deis that I'm supposed to say the same tal, and that's what he seemed to concur with.
But that doesn't happen when Ben Eretz Yisrael comes here.
So when Ben Eretz comes here, is the same thing. Since there's many Deis, what to do? So the Maisa, the same as he told me, that. The same as he told me that I should do the same tal because the Rashidis that hold that way in Eretz Yisrael, and the Mela since the Indian to daven on the Yort side, and that I should rather follow a Shita which is consistent with the local Shita. And nevertheless, even though it's not what I would have done on my own, but to daven for the Yort side, I should follow a Shita which is consistent. So Mustavra, I didn't ask him, but I presume that the same should apply to the guy that came from Eretz Yisrael.
But even the Solomon Shmanazir, what would he say?
What?
Rav said that if he comes here, since it's Muslim, yeah.
So the silent Shmanazir, I decided like this. The silent Shmanazir, we went through this at the end of Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Moshe learned, and I was Miyashav his Pesach, because the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, I think Rav Yoshev and maybe even Rav Shlomo Zalman, they both disagreed with him. Rav Moshe held that the fact that the Chazan davens twice is lahaster to be losi, so that he should make a review, a last minute review, that he has everything down straight, that he shouldn't make a mistake. So I asked, the Gemara only brings lahaster to losi in Rabbi Gamliel. We talked about it. So we pointed out the Gemara Shaila, the Gemara knew that lahaster to be losi was true in the Rabbanon too. What the Gemara didn't believe it was true, that according to Rabbi Gamliel, that the Shleach Tzibur could be made to the Tzibur if they are Bikiyim. So why in the world are they davening? They davening, and he's davening with them, and he's davening again. What in the world? What's this all about? Just have him. Just have the Shleach Tzibur get up and be mitzi everybody. So what's the pshat? What did they do? This strange thing that they laid out the tefillah that everyone davens, the Shleach Tzibur davens, then he davens again for the Ein of Bikiyim. He could have davened for the Bikiyim right away. But it was the Sadering Gemara gave, which is a convoluted answer in a way. And that's what a Gemara asked it as a kasha. What's the pshat in this? And it says, that's lahastit filosa. That's a whole different lahastit filosa. We're making everybody that doesn't have to daven, daven. And the Shteich Tzibur is going to daven a time that he also doesn't have to daven. For what reason? Because in effect, because we could have said everybody shouldn't daven. Right? And then the Shteich Tzibur, let him say the tefillah twice, lahastit filosa. Oh, but then you're going to have a tichon tzibur, you're going to wait. So how did we solve this problem? A genius solution. We told everyone's going to daven that knows how to daven. So while everyone's davening, we made the Shteich Tzibur will also go along. And then he was besadur his tefillah. That's what the Gemara didn't understand. That's what the Gemara asked the Kasha, the why are they davening in the first place? And the answer, lahastit filosa. But the lahastit filosa when the Rabbanon, that according to the Rabbanon, they can't be mitzi to be kiyam. So the people that know how to daven have to daven. So now the only shaila was, should he daven with them? Or should he wait till they finish and then daven? So they had to go more understood portion of lahastit filosa, he should daven. That's the way Rav Moshe learned the sugya, clearly. So here the shaila is, so what should you do the first time? So here I held it's kedai to be meikol. I mean, what are you going to say? So, of course, listen, you don't always have lahastit filoso. I mean, let's say, for example, in this din, let's say, what happened if the Shteich Tzibur made a mistake? Let's say he was davening after December 4th here in America. And he said B'sein Brocha, and then Rav Olam Ashinim, he realized, I left out B'sein Tal. So where does he say B'sein Tal? In Shmak Aleinu. So you're going to tell me he can't daven, he wasn't Masadit filoso, not supposed to daven Chazoros HaShatz. That's the lechatchila, what's supposed to do. If it didn't work out exactly perfectly, that every little thing to... Okay, so it didn't work out. Life went on. So I don't think that it's a violation of that. You know, you don't know that every lehasta tvilosa was not perfect. Yeah, we would like it should be perfect. But inevitably, the guys at Davin Svar got a word or two in his somewhere along the way. They throw in a word or two, you know. And the guys that daven Ashkenaz, they managed to leave out Viasov. Well, they leave something out along the way. That's like Gaitis, you know. You can't change so quickly, right? That's the mice of Esav. That Esav came, that Yaakov Avinu came, and he says, Yokum No'ovi. So that's why Yitzchak got suspicious. This is not the way Esav didn't talk like that. Esav said, Yochum, what's this, Yochum No'ovi? So he saw that, but this doesn't sound like Esav. So that's how he picked up that something is awry. So the Shaila is, listen, Esav was off the charts in Kibbut Av, as I'll say. The Furish and the Medrash. That is, Kibbut Av was, Rabbi Galil said, he's Mekana, the Kibbut Av that Esav had. So why didn't Esav say, Yochum No'ovi? There's a way that person speaks, they speak. You know, and if that's the way they speak, they're always going to speak that way. You can't, you know, correct it. You know, once in a while you'll correct it, but 90% of the time it'll come out the other way. So, that's what came out. So what came out here is, so the Hasta Tfilos is not going to be so absolutely perfect this time. But that's what he paskined is that L'maisa, I should daven Monday for the Omitz, and I should do the same Talmud of the Baruch, by Baruch Aleinu. So I was very nervous, making sure whatever, you know, to keep focused on that bracha, not to make a mistake, you know. But Baruch Hashem, Saruba Shalom, you know. But so
the step is to say with an Eretz Yisrael means a Ben Chutzlaretz who goes to Eretz Yisrael is there now.
Yes.
What about a Ben Chutzlaretz who comes here now? What does he do?
I don't know what the stipend held to do. That I don't know what he did. But I don't know what his psak. But that, listen, that the stipler wasn't his problem.
Would it still work?
No, his work certainly wouldn't work.
After the bracha, let's say you say bracha like us in bracha leinu, and then in shema kaleinu also.
I guess maybe. Maybe it would work here too. Could be. Yeah, I guess it could work.
We could say it also now.
We could also say it now in shema kaleinu. I guess it would work with the evet. It would work.
I think this was my wife's answer. Why couldn't you go to an American hotel, American or European hotel that has a, and you have a minion just of Europeans or Americans or whoever?
It's getting harder and harder to find.
Even if you could, you're living in Israel, right? You're staying in Israel, well, don't you have to cover the...
Well, what do you do with Israelis that come here during the second day of Sukkot?
Okay, so
what do they do?
Okay, so there we have a clearly established din that they're not supposed to do malacha before even betzina.
But they could have their own minyan.
Not really. And less and less. Over here, it's b'chol not mekubal to have such things. There was one such minyan here. I think it faded out. I don't believe it exists anymore. Here it's b'chol and Eretz Yisrael. It's been a matter of controversy. It's interesting. We'll end with this because you have, in more recent times, I'm talking with the, in other words, post 1880. We're talking 1880 is the start of the modern movement there to Israel with Rothschild founding the colonies that he founded. That's the start of the modern movement there to Israel. It's about 1880. Now. From that era and on, you find that the Rishalmi Gedolim were against, they did not like the idea of Chutz La'aretz happenings there. They had a very caustic view about the Rishalmi Zalman was also among that view. He did not like, you know, the second day Minyanim, this was not, you know, this did not play well with the Rishalmi Gedolim. So, and that's all. You don't make a minyan, you know. You have your private problem. You don't make a public thing of going against the minhag. Now, this, as I said, this has become stronger over the time. I mean, less and less people are noyach kaminhag chutz la'aretz in Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's interesting in all of this, and I remember bringing in my sefer, there was the early, not from the Prima Godin, but the Tshuvas Genes Vredim of Rodim, and he talks about the Dorot of Yisrael. The Sfarish Gvirim used to come to Eretz Yisrael to spend Yontif in Eretz Yisrael in the Tandor of Es Yosef, in that era. And they had second day Yontif Minyonim, it's Mefurish in the Tshuvas, and none of the Achronim of that era are shrying against it to be abolished. They want to know about the Koyin, Duchening, Apis Mises, whatever, but the Etzem existence of the second day Minyonim existed at that era. So it's interesting that in the 19th century, and the Gdoilim of the old Yishuv of the first half of the 20th century were very strongly misnagged to such happenings. Yet you find that the Gedolim that preceded them 300 years earlier seemed comfortable with the idea. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll hold it at this point.